This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. Hello and welcome to
My Favorite Murder, the Minyasode.
Minyasode.
The Minyasode.
This is brought to you by the Minyas.
God, they're funny. They're little. Sometimes they have two eyes. Sometimes they have one eye.
The way they talk is adorable.
It's babble, but you also understand what they're trying to say.
This episode isn't brought to you by Minyas. If so, we'd be millionaires right now. But I really did like that. Like, surprise the shit out of myself by, like, just being really bored one time and turning that on and being, like, delighted by it.
Oh, the Despicable Me franchise is rock solid in terms of comedy. I've watched all of those movies with my niece.
Yeah.
The first one, we loved it so much. We watched it all the time.
It's so cute.
It's so funny and so cute.
Charming. But that's not what this is about.
This is about the Minyas.
Now we're going to not get charming and cute and read you your fucked up stories that you send us.
Do you understand that life is about contrast and that when you have the charming and cute, you come under it hard with the horrifying.
Yes, rip it open.
Yes. Are you ready for the first one?
Give it to me.
The subject line of this is, we saved a life. Hello, everyone, with both human and animal. I love you guys so much, but let's get right to this.
Perfect.
Thanks. This isn't so much a hometown story, but a story with girls from my hometown. Mm. When I was 14, I played on a traveling softball team. That just... You know, my niece Nora's on a traveling softball team. Yes, Steel Breeze, you know. Okay, we were based out of Pittsburgh, but we were in Wheeling, West Virginia for the weekend of a tournament. After all our games were over for the day, myself and three of my teammates were hanging out back at our hotel in one of our family's rooms. Some of our parents went to the local casino.
I bet they fucking did.
Hell yeah, they did. They're like, great job today, everybody. Get away from us. And others were hanging out by the pool. But for the most part, the four of us were unsupervised. So what could four unsupervised teenage girls do with their time, you ask? You guessed it. Sneak away from our hotel to smoke some weed. Our hotel sat on a tiny country road all by itself, other than a few random houses down the street. We snuck off to a little spot down the road, tucked back into the woods. All ready to get, quote unquote, high as fuck, we realized we forgot a lighter to hit our tinfoil bowl. We made, parentheses, yes, I know, I probably have cancer now. No, it's Alzheimer's. So we walked back to get one, and then we returned to our secluded little spot. We smoked, we got all giggly, and we decided to walk back to our hotel. On our walk back, we saw a van coming from behind us from down the country road toward us and our hotel going towards the highway. Mm-hmm. As the van drove creepily slow by us, we all noticed the woman driving really stared us down. And then as she continued by, it seemed like in slow motion, she looked into the back seats and we saw a little girl sitting back there. We all agreed it was weird, but we thought we were just being paranoid because we were high. Very, very likely. Uh-huh. We got back to our hotel safe and sound, and we just did high teenagers do, eat snacks and giggle. Here's where the shit gets real. We were hanging out, just goofing off when... out of nowhere, one of my friends just walks over and turns on the radio, not saying a word while she does it. A song was playing, and then it was immediately interrupted by an Amber Alert.
No.
We didn't pay much attention to it, but then all caught that they were talking about our area.
Fuck.
Then it described a van and a woman driving it and the little girl she kidnapped.
Oh, my God.
We all froze and just looked at each other. They described the van and the woman just as we saw it. In somewhat disbelief, we went and found my friend's mom trying to keep cool and giggles to a minimum.
I forgot that part. I didn't forget that part because I was like, I bet they're not going to call the cops because they're high
down there. Like, it's not really happening.
That's why I don't like getting high. It's like, what if you have to take care of something?
No, I mean, I think that's why it's funny when you're 14 or what, you know, when you're younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have so much to take care of. Yeah, but there's an
earthquake, like a fucking crazy earthquake, and you have to like get your pets and take the, and like get outside, you know?
Yeah, but you're like, wait, I'm going to stop and eat a Snickers first. Okay, hold on. Okay, so they go find your friend's mom, and they told her what we saw on our quote unquote walk and about the Amber Alert. She said we were probably being paranoid, but she called the police just to be safe and told them where we were and what we saw. We left it at that and we went on our evening. Then, about an hour later, we got a call back from the police. They found the little girl and arrested the woman at the gas station right down the street from our hotel. They had found and saved the little girl based on our call.
Holy shit.
Because it was the woman we saw.
Pot saves the day.
Yeah.
Smoke pot, everyone.
Legalize it. This was over 15 years ago and is still a moment I will never forget. Yeah. I'll never fucking forget
it. That's amazing.
I'm just reading it fourth hand. Hope you enjoyed this freaky story with my hometown friends, SSDGM Kel.
Dude, that's a story. That is a fucking great story.
That is move her to the front story.
Top notch. I don't even want to read mine now.
Ooh.
That's great.
But also under the... Did this really happen, or are you just stoned? Are you just, are you high from the aluminum foil you smoked into your brain?
Yeah. Are you just really insane? Okay.
So good. Thanks, Kel.
This one's called "Good Job." My dad nearly had me kidnapped. Hi, all. So it was 1996. My dad was looking to sell his car. A man interested in purchasing said car comes over to take a look. My dad's out front giving the man a tour of the car. Toddler Ellie running around while he is doing so. After a while, my dad comes back into the house and mom asks how he got on. Oh, they must be Brits.
Oh.
All good. He has just taken it out for a test drive, dad replies. My mom then asks if it was a good idea to letting him take the car out by himself. Fair question, because who in their right mind lets a stranger take their car for a drive unsupervised?
Yeah.
Don't panic, folks. My dad had it covered, and he replied to my mom and said, no, it's all right. Ellie's in the back.
What? Wait, how old is she?
She said she's a toddler running around.
What?
Toddler Ellie running around. I can only imagine what followed was a lot of hysteria and foul language being thrown at my dad from my very frazzled mother. I came back, though, so it's cool. And that is a true and mildly, not so mildly alarming story of my near kidnapping experience and my dad's wonderful parenting skills. Can we just take a second to imagine the poor man being trusted to take the car out alone with a random child in the back? That aside...
crazy. So if I was that mother, I would have slapped him forward and back.
If I was the person taking the car for a test drive, I'd be like, I don't trust you, and leave.
Right. I mean, because was she in a toddler seat?
Probably.
Or was she just like sitting around in the back seat?
Who fucking knows?
It sounds like she was just wandering around.
It does sound like she was just in the car.
Yeah.
Get in, take the car for a test drive with this nice man.
Hold this beer.
That aside, and believe it or not, my dad was actually a truly amazing man and an incredible father. Unfortunately, I only got a short 19 years with him as he passed away in 2013. I miss him dearly and have many, many more stories of this wonderful, crazy man who was at times clearly way too trusting. And for that, I am blessed. Thank you guys for everything you do. Weird to think that listening to two funny chicks talk about murder is a sort of escapism for my severe anxiety. But hey, whatever floats your boat, right? I'm clearly not alone. Stay sexy and don't send your daughter off in a car with strangers, Ellie.
Ellie, you're not alone. Also, I wonder if some of her anxiety is based in a very deep-seated early
mistrust of your parents' skills.
Who is minding the shop?
To be like, I just don't feel safe in life. Well,
he's not going to steal the car because he has our child.
Right. Right. Oh, my God.
Well, we'll keep going on the car theme.
Okay.
this is the subject line is things found hidden in cars.
Okay.
Hello, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all furry friends of the MFM team.
Cool.
I work as a technician for a German luxury car manufacturer.
Well, can we get a sample of one of those, please?
Yeah, we need to sample that. I know you guys have been asking for stories about stuff found in walls, but I thought you might be interested in some strange things I've found in cars while working on them.
Yes.
Yes, we are. My first story is from when I had started in the industry. A client came in asking for her car to be searched for a tracking device, as her abusive ex-husband had confronted her at a grocery store when he had a restraining order, when she had a restraining order against him, and had changed her number and address.
Whoa.
I searched the car in all the obvious places, thinking that the guy didn't have the have access to the car. He did, and eventually found the device in the spare tire compartment.
Yeah, that's where it always is, right? No, I don't know.
I don't know. Apparently, the guy had a key to the car, and the lady didn't want to pay for new keys and locks to the car. Anyways, the younger me was excited to have actually found it and happily showed the client the device, and I'll never forget her horrified reaction. Of course.
Oh my God.
It's so creepy. A detective came to get my statement, and me being into true crime, I found it very exciting to be involved. A few years later, I was working on a car where I found an unrolled sleeping bag in the back seat, and in the trunk, I found a dirty shovel and a woman's single high-heeled shoe. I was creeped out.
What? Yeah. What?
I was creeped out, but hoped that the guy who owned the car had simply been a peg-legged gardener who cross-dressed and slept in his car.
No! Oh my God!
I don't. I mean, it would be interesting, but I don't think that's it.
No.
Another, who knows, though?
Dude.
I mean, look, we all get to be who we want to be.
Listen. Ugh, Jesus.
In another car, my team leader was doing some electrical diagnoses and had to remove the car seat back panel, which hid the fuses and modules. This isn't a compartment that the client should even be aware about, since it's super tricky to open and only accessible from the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
But in a blank fuse panel compartment, the team lead found a pack of condoms. I can only imagine the guy was trying to hide them from his wife.
That's a long, like a big length to go to hide that.
Yeah, don't you have pockets?
Or don't you have any fucking, like, you know, what's the word? Respect for your wife?
For real. I was just doing short term, right. Long term, it's how about you end the relationship you're not happy in?
Right.
But it's more fun to take your car apart and hide condoms in it. Okay. I can only, finally, the best thing I ever found in a car was a beautifully homemade stained glass portrait of somebody's dick pic. It was lovingly made and incredibly detailed, including veins on the dick itself and the bathroom counter that could be seen in the background.
Oh my God. What an amazing gift to give to someone. It's
so funny. I bet the car owner was not expecting anyone to ever find it. But when you leave weird things in your car, somebody most definitely will.
Holy shit.
But also, it's stained glass. It's not like a painting or
it's
whatever.
Stained. Read it again, the description of it.
Finally, the best thing I ever found in a car was a beautifully homemade stained glass portrait of somebody's dick pic. So someone sent someone a picture of their penis.
Yeah, yeah.
As if to say, consider me.
Yeah, yeah.
In your long
and some
list
hilarious
of
artist, like her best friend, probably was like,
"Yeah,
I'm gonna make you remember this forever." And made, and her specialty was stained glass, and she made her. That's a beautiful gift,
veins included. Just so everyone knows, technicians will always check the trunk during services to check on the spare tires, so anything left there can and will be seen by everyone in the shop if it is hilarious or questionable. Anyways, I love the show and all the work you ladies put into it. Stay sexy and don't leave anything incriminating in your car. Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa. I'm trying to think if I have anything in my trunk that I'd be like embarrassed of or that I wouldn't want in there, but I can't think of it. It's all boring shit. Just like unused yoga mats. That's embarrassing.
Mine is like always packages I do not send. Like I will package something up to return it or whatever and put it in the back of my car and just it's there forever.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant? Like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1, as in the number 1, password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
All right, this is a good one. This is one that I think you're going to like.
Okay.
This title is Swiss Cheese Fetish Guy from Minnesota 29 hit me up on OkCupid 10 years ago. This was his opener.
What? Really?
Yes.
This
is a treat.
Magical.
Are you ready for this?
Early Christmas.
Okay, so this is from the listener. Her name's Amy. She says, "Hey, sexy ladies." Okay. I just listened to Minnesota 29 where you discuss Swiss Cheese Fetish Guy from Philly.
Swiss Cheese Pervert is his professional name.
Swiss Cheese Pervert. If anyone doesn't remember episode 29, he would drive around in his car, and like if a woman would look over, he would hold Swiss cheese near his dick.
He would hold up a piece of Swiss cheese while he was jerking off. Yeah, naked from the waist down.
Right. This is a car themed episode.
It is a car themed episode. And also there's a really good animated Somebody animated, and Steven's going to find, so we say the name.
Yeah.
But somebody did an animation of us talking about that story for the first time. It's one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
And I know that there's a photo of Paul Holes on the wall because Paul Holes told me that there's a photo of him in the wall of that.
That's right.
And I didn't know how to respond to that.
Yep.
To Paul Holes.
Yes.
Telling me that.
Paul,
I think I just crashed my car.
Because so they put like a Hot for Holes calendar on
right,
the wall.
That's what he was saying.
In the animation. And then some smart Murderino was like, I love this clip, and then added Paul Holes to make sure he saw it.
Well, so he
then
told me
we didn't have to do it.
Mouth,
yes,
that he saw it
to your face,
to my face with his own face.
Yes,
and it was horrifying.
What did you do?
Well, I was.
Her cheeks are red right now. By the way,
I'm hot.
Georgia, he's a powerful man.
It's scary. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how to talk about this. I'm blushing so fucking hard right
also,
now.
Also, right now we're kind of giving away a secret.
We are giving, and that's why I don't want to talk about
that's
it.
That's right.
He was in my car.
We hang out with Paul Holes, you guys.
He was in my car, which was scary enough because I'm driving with a cop.
Yes.
And you know how I fucking drive.
Yes.
And then he told me that, and I was just like, I should just crash the car right now.
You're like, Paul, I have to pull over for a second if you don't mind. Steven, will you give us the
okay?
Oh, yeah, Nick Terry. Is
and where
the name.
Can you find it?
If you just go to YouTube.
If you just Google Swiss Cheese Pervert.
I just did Swiss Cheese Pervert, my favorite murder. And Nick Terry's video is like.
We'll put it on Twitter.
It's a real fast one. It's really fun. Okay. So anyway.
Here we are. Oh my God. Da-da-da-da-da. He's from Philly. I damn near crashed my car when we were talking about it in the Minnesota. When I realized who you were discussing, he propositioned me online in 2008. I was living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Is that right? Yes. About 90-minute drive north of Philly, and I had a dating profile on OkCupid. I received the following message out of the blue with the subject line, "Can we discuss this?" from the guy who a couple years later made national headlines for flashing his junk wrapped in a wad of cheese to an underage girl. At the time, I couldn't decide if it was a joke or if I should just admire this guy for just laying it all out there and trying to get his needs met. Turns out he was just a creeper hitting on any female human within at least a 90-mile radius who was so disrespectful of anybody's boundaries that he was kicked out of Fet Life.
What's that?
I guess it's a fetish life.
Fetish life.
Fet Life.
I was thinking Met Life. What?
He was in a velvet. He was so disrespectful of anybody's boundaries that he was kicked out of Fet Life. And that's hilarious.
That's very extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she says, no, I never responded to him. I emailed the message to a friend before shutting down my dating profile. If you ever need a mental break from reading about murder and would rather know way too much about this guy's fetish, here you go. And then she says, enjoy? ? Amy. Thank you, Amy, for sending this.
That's unbelievable.
Now, listen, I've been hesitant to read this because I'm not shaming anyone for their fetish. Everyone is into something different, and we're all fucking humans and just trying to make ourselves and other people happy. That's the point. But
that's
he is
true.
A creep who flashed people and didn't ask for consent, and so fuck him and fuck everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting kicked off Fet Life,
yeah, yeah.
Then you're not every. That's just it.
Yeah.
Is the majority of people have some kind of like, this is the thing I like.
Right.
Obviously, we all have preferences, but it's like putting your preference on other people as if it's their job to make it all happen for you is what separates normal people from
and if part of
the
your
perverted
part of your preference is that you're doing it to unsuspecting people who haven't consented.
Yes,
then I can read this online. I mean, on this podcast right
well,
now.
Well, and that's kind of the key to everything is if part of your fetish is the lack of consent.
Right.
No.
Then that's problematic.
Then the answer is no.
Yes. Okay. Then the answer to this is, are you ready for this?
Oh, wait, we've got more?
No, I have his email to her.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize. Okay.
Oh, she.
Sorry.
I have his email.
Here
she sent the email to us.
Are you going
to
do a voice? Please do a character voice.
Okay, here's his email. Subject is, can we discuss this? And this is how it starts.
Oh, no.
This is my fetish. Full version. I love the way Swiss cheese feels against my penis.
Oh.
Either a slice of Swiss cheese being wrapped around my penis or a chunk of Swiss cheese being rubbed against my penis. You want me to keep going?
Not in that accent.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Can I just pause you really quick?
Yeah.
I always thought, and maybe it's because of artwork we've been shown.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember when the girl dressed up like him for Halloween?
She like held it above the penis.
Yeah, she was just holding it up.
Remember when that girl made us a Swiss, Steven as a Swiss cheese pervert?
Yes.
With, or was it Elvis as the Swiss cheese? No, it was Steven.
It was Steven with the bald cap on.
Right.
And I still have the little piece, the piss of Swiss cheese that's like a Christmas ornament. It's a beautifully cut piece of felt.
I can't remember her name, but sweetheart, thank you.
With gold thread. I mean, that's old. That's from like a year ago.
Okay. Want me to keep going or should I not even
know? No, I really want to hear it.
Okay. I love even more when a woman uses the Swiss cheese to pleasure me or simply wraps Swiss cheese slices around my penis and allows me to hang out with her as I wear the cheese.
And what, watch like International House Hunters or whatever?
That's better. So to give you a basic understanding of my Swiss cheese fetish, the simplest thing is that it's a hand job using Swiss cheese as the tool to pleasure me. But I like to expand upon it by having you wrap Swiss cheese slices around my penis and I wear it for a length of time. Then you repeat the process, allowing me to savor your handiwork.
Okay, I mean, he's explained it 7 times. We get it's not that.
Four more paragraphs.
Okay, okay, okay.
We don't have to do this.
I mean, I'm interested in the mindset.
Okay. In my younger years, I developed a strong urge for sex, but not being the best looking guy out there, girls tended to ignore me. So I'd fantasize about sex and masturbate. It's just not the same. One day, I just had some strange feeling and for some unknown reason, used cheese to masturbate. I started to relate girls to cheese. Girls are attractive, soft, silky, smooth feeling, and have milky complexions.
And holes.
Girls' hands are also the same way. I especially like girls with long, thin fingers. I feel really dirty reading this.
It's gross.
All this was a turn on. As for the cheese, I tried many different types of cheeses. Cheddar, he goes on to name different kinds of cheeses.
How do you do that with cheddar, though? It's so crumbly.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Even some fancy cheeses and Cheese Whiz.
Brie.
However, none could compare to Swiss. Swiss is a perfect representation of cheese to me. If I held up a slice of Swiss cheese in front of you, that compared to any other style of cheese, I am sure you would recognize Swiss over the rest.
No, you're right. I can't argue you on this one.
Thank God Vince hates Swiss cheese. Also, the way it smells, given it's not that bad, I use domestic and its eye patterns and color, Swiss is very attractive to me. It also shares all the characteristics I see in girls. It feels smooth and silky, it's semi-soft and flexible, and it smells like perfume to me.
Swiss cheese?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, do I like regular sex? Sure. But at the time, I would say a good 10 years before I had normal sex, this was the substitute. Now I'm just addicted to it, like a smoker is addicted to cigarettes. Nope. It's not like that.
No, it isn't really like
that. It's like a drug that I simply can't get enough of. Okay. Everything leading up to a girl, to asking a girl, I have... to having it done is the high, and then once I come is the low. But the low... satisfaction is short-lived.
I'm going to stop you really quick just to say, this is an introductory email.
Yeah.
This is the first email he sends.
Yeah.
The first one. This isn't like they're good friends and finally he's like, look, no. I'm going to level with you.
Yeah. It just ends by saying, do you understand and would be willing to help with my addiction? ? The end. I don't know. Should we leave this in?
Yes, for sure.
Terrible.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I would just say, I would like to say this in listening to that and not, we're laughing at the fact that this is an overstep of boundaries beyond belief. Hopefully she got that and then was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was going to say deleted it, but clearly she didn't.
Yeah.
But I would say this, everybody feels like they were ignored by the opposite sex when they were younger. And do you know why they feel that way? Because you always like the cheerleader or the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't go, oh, I like the really weird guy in the corner.
Yeah.
The person who would actually, or like you would have a chance with.
My friend who's like super nice to me.
Right. It's never that because everyone's got their, their dreams in the stars or whatever. When you take that as this factoid and hold it to your breast, like you've been so damaged, and then you go through the rest of life like, oh, well, girls don't like me or guys don't like me because you're just lying.
Yeah.
It's like, put your shit down and get in the mix.
Yeah.
I say it's the most hypocritical thing I've ever said in my life.
Hey, you've been married.
But yeah, that's right. I got in. I got hurt.
You did it. You know, you can say whatever you want.
I mean, it's true. And I've had several wonderful relationships. But I mean, it's like you have to let go of that idea that you somehow were rejected by all of one gender. Yeah. It's bullshit. It's like you have to open your eyes to who is interested in you and what you do like.
Or
and
then, why are people not interested in you? Are you a fucking dick?
Yes.
Maybe you're a dick.
Maybe you're a dick. And also think if there's tons of unattractive people that are very charismatic and sexy.
Yeah.
So don't use that as an excuse because just like don't back yourself into this kind of corner.
You know why people don't like you? It's because you complain that people don't like you all the time.
Or because you're holding up cheese in front of people going, this is what women are to me. Okay, well then go to therapy. That's not, women are not Swiss cheese. They're not all silky and smooth with holes.
No.
Like get your you've oversimplified everything to the point where you can't be in the world.
Yeah.
And come on.
Yeah. Oh, Elvis is surprised. Stephen is showing Karen, the girl who dressed up.
What is Bryn it? Bryn. Her name is Bryn Bryn on Instagram, and it's the fucking greatest Halloween costume of all time.
She's the Swiss cheese pervert.
She's wearing white flesh color, like a white person's flesh colored lycra leggings.
With a like felt star that she put over her crotch over to look like she's like hiding her junk.
Yep.
A bald cap, and she has a piece of Swiss cheese.
Because that's the picture the lady took.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah. No, it's
and
the
it's
best.
Like he wasn't wearing. He's wearing a blue T-shirt and wasn't it's wearing the best. Pants. It's hooray for you, Bryn Bryn.
Do you have another one?
Oh, this is very short.
Okay,
and
good.
I think
let's
you're
end on.
Like it.
Let's end on something else.
You know, and everybody again will just reiterate: fetish up all you want.
Yeah.
This was not fetish shaming. Forensic Beach Encounter.
Uh-oh.
Hi there, murderesses. I just started listening to your podcast. Thank you for distracting me from my tedious pot farm job.
Everyone hates their jobs.
No problem, man. I know that would be like so many people's dream job. Though not all my coworkers enjoy me yelling murder every time we are choosing something to listen to. We get it.
Thank you.
I was at the beach in Brookings, Oregon yesterday, drinking a beer in the sand with my sister. Oh, it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. We noticed a strange netted trap-like device hanging in a tree.
Mm-mm.
We were trying to figure out what it could possibly be for, catching birds, butterflies, who, why, what. A woman wandered over and said, "You ladies picked the wrong day to sit here," and then mumbled something about the smell of a body. And she started fussing with the trap, and we asked her what she was up to. It turns out she was a forensic entomologist, trapping flies with rotten chicken liver. She said she was going up the entire West Coast, identifying which flies were in each area so that when dead bodies were found, they can gather unique geographical information from the type of flies and maggots found on the bodies.
Amazing.
Which can err in solving murders. Which can aid in the solving of murders. She said,
not yet.
You're too early. She said that flies can smell rotting flesh from a mile or more away.
Whoa.
I didn't know that. And that there was nothing in her trap because the wind was blowing the scent straight out to sea. We told her about a dead seal we saw further down the beach, and she excitedly took off in its direction.
I love her.
I found the encounter to be fascinating and thought you might too. Thank you, Aria.
Wow.
That's amazing.
How cool is that woman?
What a job.
Yeah.
Tonight on CBS.
I love her.
The Coastal Bug Lady. I won't. That's the working title. I'll think of a new one.
The Coastal Bug Lady.
Coastal Bug Lady.
Thanks for writing in, you guys. Keep doing it.
Such a good round of stories this week.
Yeah.
Oh,
my favorite
God.
Murder at Gmail. I mean, just tell us anything.
Yeah. We like hearing from you, all your stories.
Yeah.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
A goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie? Want a cookie?